they're just coasting along on 4CRB.
Welcome to The Law and You with Margaret Miller from Bell Legal Group. You can call me on 5520 8888. I'm filling in for John Fradgley today, who's attending a very special event in Brisbane. Josephine, who's a law graduate at Bell Legal Group, is being admitted as a solicitor today. And it's a very big, exciting day for Josephine and for Bell Legal Group. Let's take a call from Ron. Good morning, Ron. What can I do to help you?
Hello.
Yes, Ron.
Yes, my partner and I have separated and we own a house together, and I've signed the necessary paperwork to have it sold, but she's, and I've moved out of the house and she hasn't done anything about selling it. What avenues can I go down to enforce this is sold?
You have two avenues available to you. First off, I'll ask you how you own the property with your partner. Do you hold it as a joint tenant or as a tenant in common? Do you know?
No, I don't know. Well, both our names are on the...
Yes. There's two ways of holding property. If you're a joint tenant, if something happens to you when you turn your toes up or get hit by a bus, the other person automatically gets all the property at the moment of death. If you own it as a tenant in common, you each own your share separately.
No, it's the first one. Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you are separated, it's probably a good idea to sever the joint tenancy, because that way, if anything happens to you before the house is sold, she gets the lot. So it's only a small procedure, filing a document at the titles office, but I suggest that you do that. There's two ways that you can force a sale. How long were you together?
About 10 years.
10 years. So you could either make an application as a de facto for a property settlement in the Federal Circuit Court, or you could apply to the District Court at Southport for an order for sale under the Property Law Act. I'm assuming that if you tried the Property Law Act route, she'd file proceedings in the Federal Circuit Court for property settlement and delay things. But that might be the best way to go, doing the family law settlement. I suggest, though, before you do anything else, you might want to pop in and see a lawyer and get them to write her a letter, because that might get her off her behind and get things moving.
Oh, okay, then.
Yeah, it's just a pity. Bear in mind, too, that if you've been together for 10 years, there would probably be a claim for property settlement somewhere, so you need to get some legal advice about that, and you can either get that from a lawyer or go to a community legal centre like the Robina Community Legal Centre that operates on Thursday nights. Another thing that you should be looking at if you separate from someone is check your will, and you may need to change your will.
Oh, yeah, I'll be doing that, yeah.
Excellent. And is there anything else that I can help you with, Ron?
No, I think that's all.
Yes. It's a good idea, I think, when you've got a dispute that's not quite a dispute. Sometimes a letter from a lawyer will clear the air a bit and get things moving.
All right, that might be the best way to go.
It might well be, because if she's just sitting, she obviously doesn't want to move out of the house. She's comfortable where she is. Are you still paying a share of the mortgage or anything?
Oh, we own the house outright.
You own it outright.
Yeah.
Well, technically speaking, there is a legal term called occupation rent, and if someone is living in a property that could get rent, then you would probably be entitled to have rent paid to you for half the property. And, of course, if she's in the property, she should be paying all the rates and water bills and utilities. I hope you're not paying for those.
Well, at the moment I am, because they're all in my name.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, I think you may have to say to her that you'll be cancelling all the the rates. How can the rates be in your name? Wouldn't it be joint names?
No, it does, but it comes,
Yes, I think you need to say to her that, you know, unless she gets into action and sells the property, you're going to stop paying the rates and water bill, because she's getting the benefit of living in the house without paying rent, whereas I'm assuming that you're somewhere else paying your expenses.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not fair.
No, it's not. No.
All right. Well, look, I hope everything works out for you, and obviously a bit of common sense might prevail. But, you know, give it a go and see what happens.
All right, then. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. Okay, we might take a message from a sponsor while we're waiting for our next call.
The coolest cat event is back. The Carrara Cat Carnival is Australia's most famous feline extravaganza, and it's on again this weekend. A showcase of cat breeds, cats for adoption, cats to pet, pawsome entertainment, and appearances from internet famous cats. So come on, cat lovers, put on your cat's ears and head to the events arena at Carrara Markets for 2 days of cat-infused fun. Our sponsor, the Carrara Cat Carnival, this weekend, 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. Free entry and free parking.
Meow. Well, Beth, retirement's looking good. So glad we've planned ahead.
Speaking of planning ahead, there's another thing I think we should sort out now, Frank.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, our funerals. Pre-planning with Somerville Funerals. Beats insurance, takes the stress off the kids, and we can plan it just the way we want.
Kind of like retirement.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
With a prepaid funeral from Somerville Funerals, your payment is safely held in a trust until needed. Visit somervillefunerals.com.au.
Another sponsor.
We're back to The Law and You with Margaret Miller from Bell Legal Group, waiting to answer your legal problems. You can call me on 5520 8888. We had an inquiry this week about My Health Record, which is the new internet registration for everyone's medical records. The government have said that it will hold all health records, which will allow healthcare providers to check on your conditions and will allow better quality healthcare, which it probably will. And it will also provide the government with a massive treasure trove of sensitive information about everyone who's on the My Health portal. It's in one beautiful digital searchable and hackable format, which has raised quite a few concerns. We've had a number of inquiries about it. And apparently it's designed very much like the English health portal, which went down in a screaming heap once it was hacked. And the features that it shares with the English one is that everyone's been signed up without giving consent. Now, ordinarily, the Privacy Act requires everyone, including the government, not to disclose, collect or use personal information without your consent. Now, the Commonwealth, for some reason of their own, has decided that everyone will go on it and you have to opt out. Now, health professionals don't need consent to access health records. While the government is saying to you that only healthcare providers you authorise can access it, the reality is the default is that any medical practitioner can access the health records. This means that there will be 100% unauthorised disclosure to any health professional who can log into the system, and there's about 900,000 of those. We can see many scenarios going badly, and if, in fact, because no database is hacker-proof, there will be lots of other nefarious people who might want to hack into the system. Also, too, there is a concern that the records will be provided to third parties. Now, over in England, part of the problem they had with the health records was that they were being passed on to insurance companies who were denying insurance to people. And also, too, the government has said that they will allow police and other non-health professionals to access the records to investigate or prevent crimes or for the protection of public revenue, whatever that means. So there are a few privacy concerns. Now, what do you do if you don't want to be in it? You have to either ring up, and we've heard that there are waits of up to 2 hours to do it, or you can log on to the internet, and I've done that myself, and it's quite a convoluted process, which I had to do twice to make it work. Now, you can consider whether you want to limit access to only health providers you authorise and set up an alert for if anyone else accesses your records, but then again, that won't prevent them from doing that. It's a bit of a quandary because it would be a wonderful thing if people could access your health records when it needs to be accessed, such as in an emergency. But there is still an incredibly high risk of the information being misused or hacked or accessed by someone who has no right to do so. So this is something that people really need to consider. This is something that obviously you can speak to your medical practitioner about as well. This is The Law and You with Margaret Miller. I'm waiting for your phone calls this morning. We had quite an interesting call earlier from Ron, who had quite a number of problems that arise on separation. Fortunately, a problem he did not have was the presence of children in the relationship. That can always cause a great deal of discord and upset mainly to the children as well. So when you are considering separating, it's always a good idea to get some advice or to consult a counsellor so you can do it with the least fuss and least argument with everyone. The ACCC recently answered a question that I was asked last week, when I was last on the Law and You, which I think was 3 weeks ago. Someone said to me, a company replaced something under warranty and they told me I could only have the 1 month left on my warranty for the replacement item that they gave me. Is that right? And to me, that sounded a bit strange. And that was answered in a dispute that the ACCC had with Fitbit. They were doing the same type of thing. They replaced items that failed under warranty and said to people, you've got a month or 2 months warranty left. And the ACCC has reached an arbitrated agreement with them that, of course, if they give you a new item, the same warranty attaches to the new item. So that solves that problem. We have a call from John. Good morning, John. What can I do to help you?
Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Yes, my name's John. We're waiting on a settlement from an estate, and there's just the two people involved, my wife and the brother, and it's taken over a family farm in New South Wales, in drought area, and the brother was originally going to take the whole farm and pay my wife out. And now the drought's happened, he's got cold feet on the whole idea and he's put a stay of proceedings on the idea of it. How long can he hold that stay of proceedings?
Well, what happened? Did you reach an agreement that he was going to...
We signed off on an agreement and, everyone was happy. Then the drought hit and it was all going to be settled and he's got cold feet about the drought now and doesn't want to go ahead with the drought.
John, was this a signed off court agreement?
Not on court.
Not in court.
Just between the parties with each other's solicitors.
All right. Well, what you're going to have to say to him, John, is that if he's not going to take it, then the property should be put on the market and sold.
Mm. Yes. And it's been over 2 years now. And
that's far too long.
It's waited right up to the middle of the drought now, and the property's be worth considerably less at the moment.
But was there was a valuation done and he signed off on
the
valuation?
Yes, original valuation, yes. Yes.
Well, if you have a signed agreement with him and if it's a legally binding document, and I couldn't tell until I looked at it, then you could apply to the court for specific performance of that agreement.
Yeah.
In that he has to pay you what he said he would pay you for the farm, and bad luck if he's concerned about the drought area. I suggest that you take the agreement to a solicitor, have a solicitor look at it, and obviously make a demand for him to honour his agreement.
And what happens with the stay of proceedings? How long can they hold that for?
Well, are there court proceedings on foot?
No.
Well, what's that about? You can't stay proceedings if there aren't any.
He's talked to his solicitors and said that they've put a stay of proceedings on things until they find out how the drought's going.
Oh, look, I suggest you go and see a solicitor because you might be being fed a line of stories there. Because if there are no court proceedings, how can you have a stay?
Yeah.
So I think you need to seek legal advice because it sounds a little bit more complicated than I can deal with on the phone. But obviously, go and see a lawyer, tell your story to them, show them the documents and the correspondence, and you'll be able to get some advice on how to push it forward. 2 years is far too long for an estate to settle.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, John. We have a call from Trish. Good morning, Trish. What can I do to help you? Hello?
Oh, hello.
Trish, it's me, Margaret Miller. What can I do to help you?
Oh, hello, Margaret. I just wanted to tell you about what happened to me and just see if you can help. It's about tax returns. The tax agent was to do the returns, and she did the returns, but not one. And then she rang up and she said, this is just a week after she put them in. She said, when are you going to pay me? And I was just about to say, well, I was going to pay you when you finish the one you haven't done. And she just said a whole lot of obscenities and hung up. So then she sent me a registered letter of demand and for more than I'd agreed to, had to pay her, and she still hadn't done the final return. So I went to the Citizens Advice Bureau, and the solicitor there wrote her a letter for me, but she didn't reply.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of me getting the money back, I didn't find out till later, but she rang up the taxation department and changed my banking details to hers. Mm-hmm. And then she took out what we'd agreed for, plus an extra $100, plus $5 for postage. So I went back to the solicitor there, and he did write another letter to her for me, and I rang the tax, and I said, how could she do that? And he said, well, only someone authorised by you can change your bank details. And I said, well, I didn't authorise her. And he said, just by having her appointed as your tax agent, that's all the authority we require.
That's right. That's right. Unfortunately, so, yeah, that is the case.
So I lost my money plus the extra 105, and she still didn't do the last return.
Well,
and I suppose I'll just have to pay someone else to do it all.
Well,
but
Trish,
I just thought I'd ring and see what you thought.
Well, Trish, very good advice for you is to get another accountant. It sounds like this one is a bit of a dead loss. But
yeah,
what you should investigate, though...
I rang them up and I rang the tax and I said, no, can you cross her off as my accountant?
Yes. Now, Trish, what you should consider too is check if your tax agent is registered with any authority, because tax agents have to be registered, and you can make
a
complaint about her.
I did, and I did that with the Tax Agents Board, I think that was
called. Yes, good.
And they rang me back, very nice gentleman, and he said, did she do anything wrong? Were you happy with the way she did them? And I said, oh, no. I said, she did them all right. Like, they're just a refund of imputation credits, you know, like it takes about 5 minutes, but anyway.
Yes.
And so they said, yes, she's registered. And he said, we can only help you if you're unhappy with what she did. I said, no. I said, it was broad of what she didn't do, like the other one. But and so they said, well, fees are sort of something personal to each one. You know, they can kind of charge what they like.
Well, Trish, what happens with my accountant? My accountant will send me a letter and say, this is what I'm charging you to do the work. And you agree to that. Did she send you anything telling you what she would charge you?
No. I wish I had.
Yeah, well, that's the only problem. Yeah, well, that's the only problem. But, you know, probably for the amount of money, it's not worth taking her to court and suing her. But obviously you've learned a lesson, and, you know, the difficulty with people who do the wrong thing in business is that when people are satisfied, they'll tell three people, and when they're not satisfied, they'll tell 300. So the tax agent's name will be mud with all your friends and relatives.
Well, I have been telling everybody I know.
Yes.
I say, oh, don't go to this person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the answer, Trish, is obviously find a tax agent. And also, this is good advice for everyone. If you're getting any work done by a professional, get an estimate of what it's going to cost you in writing first and work out when you're going to pay them for the work. So these are steps that obviously you've missed. It's easy to be wise after the event. We've all got 20/20 vision in hindsight. But by hearing the stories from people who've had a problem, it helps other people to avoid them in future.
Well, thanks very much for listening to my story.
Thank you, Trish. It's been very helpful to the listeners, because I'm sure there'll be a number of people who are about to fall into the same trap you fell into and who'll now be able to avoid it.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Trish. We might take a message from our sponsor.
The Salt Cafe Bar at the Brickworks Southport should be your first choice for a traditional Aussie Sunday roast. Just $25. The Salt Cafe Bar offers a different roast every week. Enjoy the relaxing atmosphere and ample parking, our sponsor.
Are you suffering from chronic pain, hay fever, anxiety, menopause or osteoarthritis? Our sponsor, Diamond Bridge Clinic, has been helping people with health issues for over 20 years with acupuncture, cupping and Chinese herbal medicine. They can help you stop smoking, quit addictions, sleep better, overcome anxiety, depression and pain management. Located at 2484 Gold Coast Highway, Mermaid Beach, 55754337. Also at Beaudesert and Beenleigh. Google diamondbridgeclinic.com.au.
Back to the Law and You with Margaret Miller from Bell Legal Group on 5520 8888. We're coming to the end of the program shortly, but it was very educational to hear Trish's story about her tax agent, because there are so many scammers around that people now need to look out for. It's one of those situations where once upon a time you could rely on professional people and other people to do the right thing. But the ACCC has said there has been such an upsurge of scammers that people really need to be careful. And where they're really coming out in force is people pretending to be from energy companies and telecommunications providers. And some of the things that they're doing are sending bills to people by email, hoping that people will pay them without thinking. Now, I've had a couple of bills from an electricity provider that I don't even have an account with, so I delete them straight away. And this is what you should do. You should be very careful that if you get a bill that's outside your normal billing cycle, or you didn't expect to receive an email telling you that your bill is overdue, then call your provider, but not on the details that are on the email. Look them up somewhere else to check if it's legitimate. If you aren't a customer, like me, just delete the email and move on. If they send you an email and say, click on the link to have a look, don't. You never know whether it's a malicious virus hidden in an attachment. And this is how they get into your computer, grab all your passwords and empty your bank accounts. You should never, never send money or give credit card details, online account details or personal information to anyone you don't know or trust, and never by email or over the phone. We have a last call from Bill. Good morning, Bill. This will have to be a quick one. We're getting close to the end.
Sorry, Margaret. Margaret, I've got a daughter-in-law that's buying a block of dirt, and she's buying a block of land up at the North Coast property, and it's... I told her I'd give her a loan to make up for what she's got, and I'd make it up. I want to find out, how do I protect myself?
You make sure you have a loan agreement that's drawn up by a lawyer. That's what you do. You can also, if you have a loan agreement, register a mortgage over the property.
Yeah, well, I tried that, but the lady in the real estate mob said that she was only interested in dealing with the person that's going to purchase the block, not the person that's given the loan to the
person.
That's
okay. That's okay. She can deal with your daughter, but obviously the conveyance will need to be done by a lawyer, and you can have the loan agreement drawn up, and at settlement you can put the mortgage over the block of land so that if you ever have problems getting your money back, you've got security.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have any problem there, but I just want to... I hear so many people now that put, once the money's entered the relationship,
yes,
the friendship's dropped out.
That's,
you know?
Right. That's right.
Worried about that.
So make sure you have a loan agreement that's drawn up by a lawyer, and obviously if you can, put a mortgage over the property for added security. But that should cover you completely. And make sure that you get legal advice to make sure you cover all the bases.
Do we have an area down at the Paradise Point area?
Do we have what, a lawyer?
Yeah.
There's plenty of lawyers around. We deal with that all the time, but there's plenty of good lawyers who can look after you. So, obviously, make sure you do see a lawyer, make sure you get a proper loan agreement done up, and make sure that you have some sort of security for the loan, so that if things do go pear-shaped and the relationship goes bad, mm-hmm. then things aren't going to fall over.
No, that's fair enough. Now, because I live at the Gold Coast, and we're dealing going through Gladstone, you know, and
that's all right. Well, Bells can do things that are in other places. We do conveyances mm-hmm. in New South Wales and everywhere. Good advice. Go and see a lawyer, and it's a very, very good idea of you to seek advice about it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Lovely to talk to you. We're getting to the end of the program. Thank you for spending some time with the Law and You. John Fratchley will be back next week, and have a wonderful day.